The Benjamin Dixon Show is only possible with listener support. Go to www.thebenjamindixonshow.com to register for our blog and join the Progressive Army.
Today is Thursday, November 17th, 2022. Thank you so much for joining me. I want to begin where Republicans are going to spend the next 2 years. Engaging in frivolous investigations, nothing that's actually going to benefit the United States of America in any form or fashion, as evidenced by a question and answer segment that I'm going to play for you now between Senator Ron Johnson and FBI Director Christopher Wray. The very first thing brought up after the Republicans clinched the House of Representatives, the majority in the House of Representatives, was Hunter Biden's laptop. Take a listen in.
I take compliance with all of our other rules very seriously.
Senator Grassley wrote you a letter on July 25th, 2020, in which he said that whistleblowers to his office reported that FBI officials initiated a scheme to downplay derogatory information on Hunter Biden for the purpose of shutting down investigatory activity related to his potential criminal exposure by labeling it, quote, disinformation. Boy, that's a familiar term. That scheme was hatched in August of 2020. Also included, he said, in August 2020, FBI supervisory intelligence analyst Brian Auten opened an assessment which was used by FBI headquarters team to improperly discredit negative Hunter Biden information as disinformation and cause investigative activity to cease. Have you responded to Senator Grassley's letter that he wrote over 3 months ago?
Senator, I know there have been a whole slew of letters. I believe we've responded to a number of them, but I can't tell you which ones we've responded to.
Oh, man, these boys are salivating. They have been waiting for the opportunity to lead investigations into Hunter Biden and his laptop and whatever Hunter Biden got himself into, because that is more important than the coup. That is more important than the overthrow of this democracy. Here's Ted Cruz on Fox News, rather on Newsmax, same difference these days. Here's Ted Cruz on Newsmax saying as much.
And as you know, the Biden DOJ has been leaking that they're considering and intend to indict Hunter Biden. Let's be clear. That story is not about a poor, troubled soul who has substance abuse issues. That's what the DOJ is trying to make it about. They're saying, well, we're going to go after him on drug charges or tax charges, all of which are personal to Hunter Biden. The real issue and what the focus of congressional inquiry needs to be, and I'm glad to hear just moments ago that it will be, is on the official corruption, on the evidence that Joe Biden was part and parcel involved in official corruption.
Now, the new majority in the House of Representatives was represented today in a press conference. They stood around and they held a press conference about Hunter Biden. Right now, trending on Twitter is the Biden crime family. But when reporters were tired of talking about Hunter Biden and they wanted to ask more questions of the Republicans, this is what Kentucky Republican James Comer had to say.
My last question is, what are the grounds?
If we can keep it about Hunter Biden, this is kind of a big deal, we think. If we can keep it about Hunter Biden, that would be great.
Yeah, there it is. If they can keep the next 2 years about Hunter Biden, that would be great. You know, this is really going to be incumbent upon reporters and their various news networks, but we can guarantee that Fox News, Newsmax, OANN, and all of these, the rest of these grags to make the next 2 years about Hunter Biden. And to what end? Well, the end is simply to have something to talk about other than their actual agenda. This is one thing that Republicans are masters at. They understand how to throw red meat, throw blood into the water in order to stir up the chaos and the confusion to keep you looking the other way while they do what they actually want to do. Now, thankfully, the Democrats still have control of the Senate, and there's not much that Republicans can actually accomplish except for try to sandbag the 2024 election by making everything about Hunter Biden. There will be those disingenuous contrarians like Glenn Greenwald and Michael Tracy, who has a spectacular tweet that I guess I will talk about after all. I wasn't going to talk about his spectacularly racist tweet about Herschel Walker. But There will be reporters and people who will try to draw an equivalence between the investigations into January 6th and investigations into Hunter Biden. Let's take that juxtaposition apart right now. The overthrow of our democracy because of a petulant man-child not being able to accept his loss. Speaking of Donald Trump, the planned overthrow of our democracy, and in fact, the ongoing, the slow coup that is still happening till this day for Republicans, that's not even equivalent to the Hunter Biden story. They think it's less important than Hunter Biden. Now, I personally don't care what happens to Hunter Biden because I don't have a horse in that race. If he's corrupt and he did something wrong, investigate him. Throw him in jail. I think they're going to find a lot more people really do not care whether Hunter Biden goes to jail or not. But Republicans don't want that. They want to be able to draw out the national conversation and to make the national conversation be solely about Hunter Biden, because apparently there's nothing else they have on Joe Biden. Apparently there's nothing else they have. I mean, do you remember the Benghazi hearings? Benghazi, I believe it was somewhere around circa 2010. I don't want to get it wrong, but it was a tragedy where four Americans were killed in the embassy in Benghazi. And Republicans made the next 4 years, the next 6 years, about the culpability of Hillary Clinton in that tragedy. But there was no there. But that did not stop them from seizing the investigative power of the House of Representatives and the Senate, for that matter, and using it as a cudgel, using it as a tool to weaken the Democrats. And unfortunately, knowing the media that we have in this country, it is very likely that they're simply going to go along with it because they like clicks as much as Republicans like investigating nothingness. So buckle up, folks, for the next 2 years, it's going to be about nothing but Hunter Biden, because as a Republican from Kentucky, James Comer said,
if we can keep it about Hunter Biden, this is kind of a big deal. We think if we can keep it about Hunter Biden, that would be great.
I'm going to talk a little bit about Herschel Walker. I've covered him extensively, more so for his disingenuousness and his bad faith, his hypocrisy, the fact that he claims to be pro-life, but has now been exposed for paying for multiple abortions with multiple mistresses and claim, you know, all those things, the substantive things. I really have not done a lot in terms of attacking him for his level of intelligence or lack thereof, because I don't know, it's kind of in poor taste. At least I can't remember if I did. It's been a while. I probably did crack a joke or two. But the race in Georgia is heating up. December 6th, it's an important day, and the Republicans are still all in, even though they do not have the majority. They don't have a chance of getting the majority. They are all in on trying to make this guy win. I want to start, before I play this, there's a clip of Herschel Walker that went super viral because of how completely absurd and, quite frankly, brain dead it was. Before I play that clip, I want to play a clip of longtime Republican operative Ralph Reed. Now, you probably don't know him, because Ralph Reed is one of those guys who's happy staying in the background and pulling the levers of power in the Republican Party, specifically from the religious right side. He goes all the way back to Jerry Falwell Sr. and the formation of the moral, so-called moral majority. He has been a religious zealot hiding in the shadows of the Republican Party for quite a bit of a time. I want to play a clip of him describing their plans for the Get Out the Vote campaign that they have in full force in Georgia right now. Republicans, you know, there was a before I play this clip, I want to talk about a situation. Kyle Griffin, I believe, from MSNBC put out a tweet after Democrats secured the majority in the Senate. And he put out a tweet saying, quote, we don't even need Georgia anymore. Well, if that's the disposition and the attitude of Democrats, which it isn't. That was just one guy. But I do need to juxtapose that ridiculous statement with what Republicans are actually doing to get Raphael Warnock out of the Senate and to replace him with one Herschel Walker.
We're on December 6th. And if we do our job, we'll be able to get 90 to 95% of the Christian voters who voted on November 8th to go back on December 6th. And if we do that, we're going to have great success here. And so that's what we're doing. Obviously, there's a lot of other organizations and a lot of other entities that are going to be involved. But that's our effort focused exclusively on making sure that Christians exercise their citizenship in a robust and muscular way. And honestly, Jim, I've been doing this for over four decades.
Told you.
And I cannot think of a single U.S. Senate race that has been this important in my career, ever. One race in one state on one day will likely determine the control of the U.S. Senate. And because the House has effectively already been flipped, it hasn't been called yet, but it's going to flip. It means whether or not you're going to have split control of Congress, where Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer will be able to kind of fight with a Republican House, or whether or not you'll have unified Republican control of both chambers of Congress. And if that's the case, they can put a stop to the Biden agenda and the radical left agenda that's been hurtling down the tracks in Washington for the last roughly 22 months.
Now, this is a spiritual issue with those of us who care about the things of God. And there are so many issues, spiritual components to what has been happening.
So I wanted that last little bit to play. That was the host who was speaking to Ralph Reed, who we listened to primarily. They really believe that this is a spiritual battle. And in the spiritual battle, they have decided to side with Herschel Walker versus the licensed and ordained Reverend Raphael Warnock, who has committed his entire life to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They chose the adulterer, the abortion paying, a wife beating, according to his own son, philanderer over. I mean, this is the clearest example of where their sense of morality simply does not actually exist. And this is how you get cases where the Southern Baptist Church is now facing some 900 accusations of sexual assault. Right. This is where the hypocrisy knows no bounds. But more importantly than pointing out the hypocrisy, because as we all know, the hypocrisy is the point. Strategic hypocrisy is their strategy. It's the fact that they are going all hands on deck to try to get Herschel Walker into the Senate. And there was something that Ralph Reed said in there that was not quite correct. The Democrats have secured the majority. But despite them securing the majority, they are going to continue to push to get, I almost said Ralph Reed, continue to get Herschel Walker in there, because it's all about winning. It's all about power. And they don't care who they have to win with, even if it's this guy. Take a listen into Herschel Walker's speech about how you should keep the faith.
I'll tell you to keep the faith. Oh, do you ever watch a stupid movie late at night hoping it's going to get better? Don't get better, but you keep watching it anyway. Because the other night, I was watching this movie called Fright Night, Freak Night, or some type of night. But it was about vampires. I don't know if you know vampires are cool people, are they not? But I'm going to tell you something that I found out. A werewolf can kill a vampire. Did you know that? I never knew that, so I didn't want to be a vampire anymore. I wanted to be a werewolf. But then anyway, as I'm watching this movie, and then you tell you how stupid it is because it's 1 a.m. So I'm watching my TV, these kids watching their TV, vampire kill on their TV. So you know it's kind of stupid, but I'm still watching though. As I'm watching this show, what was funny, these kids had a vampire in their attic at their house. So they were watching their TV. Now I'm watching my TV, they're watching their TV, or they see the vampire killer on their TV. So they win this contest to bring this actor. Now, y'all got to stay with me. Bring this actor who's a vampire killer from that TV to get rid of this real life vampire in their attic. So as this actor comes to their home, he got all the right stuff. He got all the right stuff because, you know, I got to have a stake and got to have a thing to kill him in the heart. And he got a necklace of garlic because that worked. I don't know what it does, but it worked. You got to have a cross because it burned. I know that worked. And then all of a sudden, this is what was so funny about it. As they're walking through the house, this guy's got the holy water. He's blessing the house, this actor. Now he's all fake. He's blessing the house with his holy water. They walked upstairs and this vampire looking real good in this black suit. Whoa, well, that sounds like Senator Warnock, doesn't it? Looking all good in this black suit, floated from the ceiling. He floated from the ceiling looking good and cool. And I'm thinking, whoa, they better get out of that house. If somebody float from your ceiling, get out of that house. That's not your house. But as he floated from the ceiling, the kid jumped behind that hero. As they jumped behind that hero, the guy jumped in front of him with this holy water, threw it on the vampire's forehead. He covered his eyes. Then he took his hand away. He started laughing. And he said, that don't work. He took the cross, he put it on the vampire's forehead. And the vampire didn't even do anything. He said, that don't work. And that's the way it is in our life. It doesn't even work unless you got faith. It is time for us to have faith. We got to have faith in our fellow brother. We got to have faith in this country. We got to have faith in this in the elected officials. And right now, that's the reason I'm here. Because Ooh. God is...
My goodness. So anyway, I don't do a lot of ragging on Herschel Walker because... of his level of intelligence or lack thereof. But I do want to point out one response to this viral video. There's 4.4 million views on this video alone on Twitter. Michael Tracy, who is a contrarian reporter, so-called reporter, he put this out. He said, quote, Herschel Walker doesn't come across as the ideal U.S. senator, but the main reason he's called, quote unquote, stupid seems to be because he speaks in a heavy regional dialect with lots of colloquialisms. This alone does not make him stupid. He sounds like countless blacks in the Deep South. I'm not going to say a whole lot about this because Michael Tracy knows where he and I stands. But Michael Tracy, I'd like to invite you down to the South to read your tweet out loud to countless blacks and see how well it goes for you, my friend. This next clip came across my timeline last night. It is of a climate activist by the name of Phoebe Plummer, and she is making it clear that journalists need to do better in their coverage of the climate crisis.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm really grateful to be here and have this discussion. It needs to happen. But as journalists, are you doing enough? You know, this is the biggest crisis that humanity has ever faced. You make time to report on the sport every day. Why aren't you telling people how bad it's going to get? Why aren't you out on the streets with us? Because I admire your optimism and I admire you telling people that we have to go towards a renewable future. I agree with you. But quite frankly, it's not happening in policy. So civil resistance is the only chance we have left to get the radical change we need in the timescale we have left. To ensure that I have a future, to ensure that millions of people in the global south don't keep dying. 33 million people are displaced in Pakistan right now. Mm. And governments are still pushing ahead with these fossil fuel licenses. Okay. That is murderous.
Mm. Thank you very much for coming on Newsnight.
Thank you so much for having me on.
33 million people are currently, as we speak, displaced in Pakistan because of the historic flooding that took place earlier this year. It's, you know, considering the seriousness of climate change, that really should be all we're talking about. But I know that in order for us to actually get policy, we have to get rid of the people who are in power. So unfortunately, we spend the majority of our time speaking about politics and the horse race and the strategy of how do we get these people out of power so we could actually do something. But always lurking and lingering in the background is the truth that if we don't get control over the fossil fuel industry, and if we don't do everything humanly possible, before I even finish that sentence, I just have to remind everyone of the sacrifice that Wynn Bruce made. Wynn Bruce, climate activist, I believe he was a professor, practicing Buddhist, self-immolated in front of the Supreme Court in order to bring attention to the climate impending disaster, and barely got a few headlines. This is why I do support the activists who are literally pissing off the entirety of the world by defacing and destroying at least symbolically, the paintings that they're throwing oil on, the painting that they're throwing grease on. These paintings are protected by a glass barrier. So it's merely symbolic, but it has been enough to actually infuriate so many millions of people across the world. Well, what's happening to our climate literally should be the only thing that we focus on in order to save humanity right now. And if when Bruce's sacrifice didn't move the dial one bit, but these young activists' ability to deface priceless artwork actually brings the attention that's needed. And again, it's symbolic. I haven't seen a single case where they actually got to the Mona Lisa, you know? But what is it that we have to do? What has to be done to actually shake us out of our stupor? What has to be done is that we have to get rid of all of the politicians who are happy to receive checks from the fossil fuel industry in order for them to remain silent about the impending crisis. Let's go to this break.
Go to www.patreon.com/thebpdshow and get twice the content and unfiltered interviews without any of the commercial interruptions.
And here we go. Normally, I dedicate this time to our newest patrons, but since we don't have any new patrons, I'm going to dedicate it to all of our future patrons who are going to sign up, because you don't want me to have an empty patron party again tomorrow. Go to patreon.com/thebpdshow where you get twice the content, none of the ads, and you get access to our patron parties. Bounce. We're back, folks. We're back in full effect. We're bringing you the podcast every single day, speaking truth to power. And you know where you can get the unfiltered, unvarnished, untarnished truth. Patreon.com/thebpdshow. We'll be back right after this commercial break.
Welcome back to the Benjamin Dixon Show. Visit us online at thebenjamindixonshow.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Oh. I want to share with you a question that I posed to our patrons only in our second half, which is patrons only. You can get access to that patreon.com/thebpdshow. Sometimes we go into more news stories, but more than often than not, we just discuss some of the thoughts that I have that, you know, kind of wax philosophical. I'll give you an example, and I want to read some of the replies from our patrons. The question that I posed yesterday for our patrons is, are we unreasonable or deluded to still believe that the moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice? I'm taking that from, obviously, from Dr. King. Now, I'm a person who believes against all, you know, disbelief, I hope, against all lack of hope, right? But when you look at the lack of justice, when you look at how absurd our system is, literally built on the extraction of wealth, grinding the masses to a pulp, all for the service of a very few rich, predominantly white, predominantly conservative Christian men. When you see that, it's hard to conclude that the moral arc of the universe bends towards justice. Unless it is the case that we have just yet to come past the inflection point where it turns around, right? It's long, but it bends towards justice. So eventually it has to come to some place where right is right and wrong is wrong, where it is not so difficult to get justice. In fact, getting justice, as my sister Noah Chonga said many years ago, and I would never forget it, she said, justice isn't just finding these police officers guilty when they kill Black people. It's not killing us in the first place, right? We are so far away from a system that is just that it oftentimes feels deluded to actually believe that justice will prevail in the end. Now, I still believe it, but that doesn't mean I'm the rational one. Here's a response from Parker. They said, the way I interpret that quote is probably a bit different. I think less of it as a definitive fact about the future that things will get better. And I think of it more as the moral arc is only achieved when people fight for it. Well said. Jessica Gonzalez said it this way. I think the best way I can explain it is taken from the play The Mountaintop about Dr. King. At the end, when he finally gets to heaven, he questions if he made a difference or if it was worth it. You see justice and progress being reached at different intervals with key moments highlighted. I can only imagine that even after my time here on Earth is done, that justice will prevail. I'm confident that everything we do for good plants a seed and will have a ripple effect. That's a wonderful sentiment, and I appreciate the comments and the replies. Go to patreon.com/thebpdshow to get access to more of these types of conversations. But I wanted to share that publicly because the sum total of everything that we do, everything that I do, the reason I do this podcast and I do the show, and I do it with nothing more than the support of our patrons, and I do it whether we're making great money or whether we're making no money, we do it simply because this is one of our contributions in the fight of justice, the fight for justice. The reason I'm now organizing on a regular basis across the South, both for, against Christian nationalism and for justice for victims of police brutality, is because I got to do more. The reason I believe any of you are doing what you do, even listening to this podcast, is because you believe in justice. And sometimes the fight gets a little bit difficult. The fight to even just believe that we can actually win, not because we don't think we can win, but because when we look at the sum total of everything, when we look at all the levers of power, when we look at the most powerful people on this planet, we look at the most powerful systems on this planet, and we look at how perfectly tuned every aspect from the media to social media, everything is tuned to prevent us from getting justice. And that's the tragedy of all this. That's the compounding tragedy, is that we could have a system that is much better. Someone put it like this. It was a brilliant, succinct tweet. They're like, we're floating on a rock in space, all drowning in debt. You know, it may not occur to you right away what they mean by that, but what level of absurdity is it that these creatures on this planet, the very best that we could come up with is ways of exploiting one another? And don't get me wrong, I understand power, real politique. I understand realism from an international perspective, which is why I completely understood that Vladimir Putin was going to invade Ukraine simply because of the positions of power. He had the power to do so, and there was really not much anyone on the international stage could do to prevent him from doing it. So at the end of the day, all of these ideals that we have require power. And because we live in a barbaric society, it oftentimes requires the ability to execute force. That's the nature of our reality, sure. But still, could we not do better than this? And those are the type of things, that's the frustration when you look around you and you see homelessness, when homelessness is a policy failure. There are more empty homes than there are homeless people in the United States of America. When clearly we have examples historically that the more resources that the middle class and the working poor have, the better the economy does. It's not just a question of morality. It's the fact that we have a system that ignores the very best for the system. Capitalism eats itself, not because it has to, but because the people who got there first, the ones that use violence, the ones that use exploitation, and they got to the finish line of wealth and comfort first, they have no limit to the amount of brutality and injustices that they will engage in order to maintain their power. So it's not that we can't do better. It's not that systemically it would not benefit everyone on the face of the planet if we chose to be better. It's that the most powerful people in the world who got there first are dedicated to preventing us from doing better, and they're dedicated to preventing us from getting justice. So do we still believe that the moral arc of the universe, even though it is long, it still bends towards justice? Do you believe that we've come past an inflection point and that if it's truly an arc, I know it was metaphorically, but I see it in my head as an actual curve, almost like a graph of a, of an equation. And we get to the inflection point. We get to the second derivative equaling zero. It's a turning point in justice in the universe. I can see it in my head. But just because I can see it in my head doesn't mean it's reality. So are we deluded, those of us who still believe and still fight for justice and still hope that after all is said and done, this will get better, this place, this earth, this planet, these people, this humanity will be better? Let me get off my pulpit. Patreon.com/TheBPDShow. We'll talk more about something else after this break. Patrons, stay tuned. Everyone else, we'll see you next time.